Thank you, worship team. Well, I have a glass of water in my hand. That's because I don't have much of a throat. So you're lucky today, because I won't be able to preach as long. Don't let that scare you. I can still do it. Isn't it great to come and to praise God and to pray to Him? And we're going to pray in a moment, but first I want to just draw attention to the announcement that you've seen and you heard last week, that we want you to be praying for our youth. And we have in this basket up here little cards that there's a tear-off section to pray for each of our youth, and their names are on the card. And we want you to fill out those cards and to tear off a section, you know, to tear off a section and put it back in this basket. But I'm going to ask Pastor Jeremy now, if you're willing to say, I will pray for a youth, I will do that. I will commit to praying for you. Just stick your hand up, and then he will give you one of these cards. Make sure you pick up one of these cards. We'll look at all these hands. Quickly, run and make some more cards for some youth. Let's just make up names. This is great. Now, what you can do is, while I'm preaching, I give you permission only if you own a card. You can write down all the information, and then as you're going out, the basket will be on the back, and you can tear off section, keep a portion for yourself, and put the other section in the basket, just so we know that who's being prayed for, because we need to keep track of that. That's great. Look at those hands. That is awesome. Yeah, and parents, if you get your own child, pass it on. Give it to somebody else, and no, not that you can't pray for your children. It's great. Well, let's go to prayer this morning, and let's give praise to God, and let's just meet with Him and talk to Him this morning. Jeremy's still going around there. A couple more at the back there. It's great. All right, let's pray together. Father God, we thank You that we can come and we can praise You in song. We can praise You with our lips. We can praise You with who we are. We can praise You, Lord, just by simply just being in Your presence, and we praise You. We praise You for being our God. We praise You for being our Lord. We praise You for being our Savior. We praise You for being everything that we need, everything that we require. It's all about You, God. And so we praise You today. And Father, we come as Your people and we confess. We confess that there have been things that in our life that have not pleased You. There have been opportunities that have passed us by, not to extol You praise. Lord, there have been moments where we have forgotten about You, and so we confess that to You today, God, as Your people, because we never want to forget our God. And so we come now, Lord, and we also pray for the health needs among us. Lord, there are many right in this room right now. And Lord, You know everyone by name. You know even the hairs on our head are numbered by You. And so we pray specifically, Lord, today for those health needs among us. And we thank, Lord, of Shirley Talbot, and we pray, Lord, that You would just give her Your peace and calmness today. Father, that You would give her strength where she needs strength and courage when she needs courage. Be with the Vickers family, Lord, and may they as well receive Your strength and receive Your courage today. Father, we think of those other needs for Wanda and Lillian, Nathan and Pollyanne and Lori and Megan. And God, we lift these to You. And You know each one of these needs, Lord. You know each one of the circumstances that they're walking through, the pain and the hurt that they may be feeling, the emotional drain that they may be under. And Father, we just pray and commit them all to You and pray for Your healing in whatever form that is to occur through everything we pray for today. And Father, we pray for those who are unable to be here today. And there are many, Lord, away on just holidaying this weekend or up at the lake. Father, we pray that You give them a refreshing time. We pray for those who couldn't be here, who'd love to be here. We think of Mary Workentine, Annette Kreider, Elizabeth Neal, Sophie Zielinski, and Lord, we pray for them. We pray that today they would be encouraged in Your presence in some way. And Father, we continue to pray for the Muhammad family. We pray, Lord, that as they adjust to this country, that they would feel the welcome arms that are Yours. Lord, may they know who You are through us. We just pray that we would be obedient to you, God. And as we look forward to Tuesday night, we just pray that we would be obedient to you. And Lord, we lift Tuesday night to you, our meeting together, that we may celebrate as your people by coming together and meeting together. And we do all of this, Lord, we pray all of this today in the power of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Oh, it's so good to come into God's house today. There's a note for me. There's three more. Wait a minute. Don't sit down, Jeremy. There's three more. Anybody want to take? Okay, what are we down to? One more. One more. Sold. I got a little caught up there. I'm sorry. How many people here, and I ask for a show of hands, how many people here have ever in your lifetime had a bad day? All right. Looks like I'm not alone on this one. Bad days, adversity, trials. Adversity has a way of making us or breaking us. It's through adversity that we are shaped or bent. It's because of adversity that we become bitter or better. Trials are not fun. I have news for you. They're not supposed to be. How do we, when we walk through a difficult moment in our life, a bad day, how do we embrace the trial as a learning experience? How can we possibly focus when we can't even see through our tear-stained eyes while we journey through the storm? Let's talk about embracing adversity this morning by looking at the book of James chapter 1. And I'm going to start with verse 2 of James chapter 1. This is a passage that speaks about the testing of our faith, but it also talks about the joy that we have as Christians. James chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 2, and I'm going to read to the end of verse 12. James chapter 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who's rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. Well, there's so much that I could talk about. It's about embracing adversity. Aren't you glad that I don't have much of a voice? Approach adversity with contemplation. See, if you look at these first couple verses, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of any kind, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Contemplate. I love how this passage begins, because it says in the New International Version, consider. Consider means to think. It means to believe. This means I have to choose to do this. I need to take time to think through what is happening to me or around me. reason I like this word is because the onus is on me alone. No one else can do this for me. Only I can take the time. Only I can consider the adversity. Only I can believe. Only I can think through the situation. There's no one else who can do any of that for me. But listen, I think what occurs when we walk through adversity or trial is we begin to think about how others affect us in the process. We look at the other person, and we think about what they are doing to us. We often think about what they need to change in order to make our life better. Yet often nothing will change in our situation or our circumstance without change occurring first right here within us. This is why contemplation is the first step in approaching adversity. That stuff happens to you. It crumbles around. Your world crumbles around you. And circumstances take away. And all of a sudden, you got to stop for a moment and think. It's like taking a time out. I remember those frequently as a child. Taking time out. My mother used to say that frequently. You take time to think about what you've done. Time out. Always got the timeouts. Do you guys know what I'm talking about, timeouts? Nobody's raising their hand now, are you? You don't want to admit it. Take time to think about your situation. Take time to think through where you have come. Take time to think about what mountains and what valleys you have already walked through with God. And you will note the hand of God through all your life if you take time to contemplate. See, nothing in life breeds resilience like adversity. Adversity builds or diminishes our faith. Adversity makes or breaks our character. Adversity draws us closer or away from God. Adversity is not always our decision, except how we journey through it. You see, we don't always choose what we're walking through. We don't say, okay, I'm gonna walk through. I think I'll walk through a time of real stress now in my life. We don't choose those kind of things. We don't choose. I think I'll have financial failure now. I think that's what I'll do for the next few weeks. We don't choose that. But how we journey through all of that, with what attitude we journey through that, we do choose. See, I choose how I react to a situation. I don't necessarily choose the adversity, but I choose how I react to it. That's my choice. It's kind of like this lady. Go ahead, put it up there, Nathan. See, now she could have given that up. You know, she could have tried to get that cat out of there, but no, she was still feeding it that good old cat food, you know. See, we choose. Are you still with me or are you back on the cat? You're still with the cat, are you? You know, and it was funny, I got to tell you something. I put together some stories this morning, and they were all cat stories, and I thought, oh, I got to change this. This is just because you'll be thinking about this all the time. I tell cat stories. I'm not telling them our cat stories. That's it. James says it so well. He says, consider. And then the New King James Version says, count it all joy when you walk through a trial, when you walk through adversity. Count it all joy. And to count means you take time. Count your adversity as joy. I like how the Message Bible says it here. It says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Wow. You want to become mature? You want to enjoy living? You want to deepen your faith? You want to experience God in a fresh, new, vital way? get off when we don't want to walk the journey to get there. See, joy cannot be experienced without adversity. We can find the joy in the midst of the problems only when we start recognizing their purpose and the results. And we can only discover that through contemplation. We begin to understand perspective when we take time out. We begin to think correctly about situations when we take time out with God. What do you think about? You know, when your day is over, the alarm bell rings at work and you're driving home, where are your thoughts? Or maybe at work, what is it that you are thinking about? See, are you thinking about, oh, I got to check all those emails, and I got to email this back, and I got to. Are you thinking about all the yard work you have to get done? Are you thinking about all the phone calls you need to make, or the phone calls you want to make because you just want to be there talking to the phone? What is consuming you? Book of Philippians talks about thinking. Talks about. Whatever is pure, whatever is trustworthy, whatever is honorable, think about those things. We spend a lot of time thinking. A lot of time thinking. But I wonder who we think about or what we think about. See, our focus, our thought life needs to be on Jesus. That's what we're to think about. When we approach adversity with contemplation, that's what we're to think about. We're to spend our time focusing on the one who can walk us through it. Contemplation. Approach adversity with contemplation. Approach adversity with supplication. If you look at verse 5 here. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. It's not interesting how adversity... I find it that adversity always draws us closer to God, doesn't it? If we let it. I mean, God loves us so overwhelmingly much that he does whatever he can to draw us to himself. God allows trials in such a way that we lack nothing in the end. James says, however, that if we lack wisdom, we should ask God for it. It's no sign of weakness for a person to pray for wisdom when facing difficult time. This is a sign of strength to come and say, God, I need wisdom. I'm walking through a tough time. You all have heard the quote from Abraham Maslow, who once said, I have found that every person who is sincerely happy, radiantly alive, was living for a purpose or a cause beyond himself. Who are you living for? For yourself? For others? For things? For pity? Or for God? Who are you living for right now? Now, that's a tough question because our natural answer is, well, I'm living for God. That's who I live for. Think about it. I mean, really, really think about it. If you are living for God, then anything that involves you is no longer important. Anything you're involved in doesn't concern you. It's all about God. Adversity then becomes something that draws us closer to the one who loves us. But I think we're great at discussing our problems with others, but neglect the one who allows the problem for strengthening our life. You see, often somehow we have this image that God just can't seem to understand what we're walking through just at this moment, as if we kind of walk alone. We attempt to solve the problem, or not even attempt to solve the problem, and we go through life carrying the adversity. And all the while, God sits waiting. He's just standing there waiting to give us something better, but we're too busy carrying this little problem. And God awaits. You think of that. You picture God just standing and waiting for you to just call out to him. And as you go about your own thing and you're lamenting, you're holding on that adversity, God still stands. He's standing over there. Tears are falling from his eyes, and he's just standing there waiting, and he's waiting, and he awaits you to call out to him, and you keep carrying on, and you keep going on, and as you keep going on, and you talk about, oh, this is my lament, and the people share, oh, that's so sad, that lament that you have, and they listen, they try to give a solution, and they try to help you out, and you keep carrying on, and you continue on with your lament, and you're carrying it, and God's over there, and he's just standing, he says, oh, please come back and give it to me. You end up over here, and all of a sudden, you can't take it anymore, it's getting heavier and heavier, and you cry out, and you say, Lord, Lord, and at that moment, he walks right over, and he's right here beside you, and he says, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. And at that moment, you have the choice, as you hold on to it, to say, here, you take it. But the moment you say, here, you take it, is the moment that you've let go of it, and that's the moment that you can no longer take it back from him. There's no return if you want the joy. Because your hands have to be empty so that he can go, wait a minute, I'll just throw that over there. Joy, wisdom, happiness, contentment, purity, it's all yours. And he just keeps handing it and handing it and handing it. And you're like this, and it's just great, and it gets lighter, and it gets lighter. You got all this stuff, but it's lighter, and it's lighter because God gives you the stuff that makes your life lighter. Because he wants you to enjoy the journey. That's the kind of God that I serve. That's the kind of God that loves you enough. Loves you enough to allow you to serve him. You see, there's a question. Will you give up your pain? Will you give up your want? Will you give up your desire? Will you give up all your things? Will you give up all your hurts? You see, there's a recurring word there. You. You choose what you do. You see, look at this penis cartoon. This explains it really well. You sure got yourself wet sitting out there in the rain, Snoopy, says Charlie Brown. See, he's helping out. But after I towel you off, you'll be nice and warm and fuzzy. Oh, don't we all want that? Go on to the next one. I may have to go into hiding. Adversity can cause us to withdraw, go into hiding from God. You see, I want to tell you, folks, when you're walking through a tough time, don't give up. Surrender up. Because God replaces your surrender with something better. He always does. Always does. And that this is what James speaks of here. Give up your adversity. Ask God for wisdom. This is not weakness. This is strength. You will see, you will discover, if you truly clear your mind of all the negative clutter, you will see how God has shaped you if you have allowed yourself to become better, not bitter. By supplication, you surrender, and by supplication, you receive. So you got to approach adversity with contemplation. You got to approach adversity with supplication. You got to approach adversity with expectation. I love this word, expectation. You know what it means? Expectation, hope, anticipation, belief. As Christians, we're to be always in a moment of expectation because there is much to expect. We're to expect our Lord's return at any moment. You know, I heard the saying, Jesus is coming soon, look busy. And, you know, it's almost true. We're to always be focused so that we know that our Lord could come at any moment. We're to expect heaven. For the Christian, there is so much hope. There is much anticipation. There is much belief. There is much joy because of the expectation. James speaks of this in this passage. Look at these words. Look at these words. Verse 6. He says, but when he asks, he must, you see the word? Believe and not doubt. Wow. The New Living Translation says it this way, but when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to answer. For a doubtful mind is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. People like that should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. They can't make up their minds. They waver back and forth in everything they do. How many of you ever had this conversation in the vehicle after church? So, do you want to go out for lunch or stay home and eat? I don't know, what would you like to do? Well, I don't know, do you feel like cooking anything? Or, well, I don't know, do you feel like barbecuing? Well, I don't know, not really. No, I don't either, it's kind of rainy and cloudy today. But did you want to eat out then? Sure. Where would you like to eat? Now, I'm not going to say that you should be like this. Get into your vehicle and say, do you want to eat out today or go home and eat? Let's pray about it and see what God thinks. No, you can't get out that way, all right? See, but when you ask God for wisdom, in faith, you expect his answer. See, when you gain perspective and trust God for wisdom, the only thing left to do is anticipate solutions and exude optimism. You know what that's like. Those kind of people are almost sickening. They're so optimistic about everything. You've likely even heard the story, but it bears repeating, about the small community of farmers. They were walking through intense drought. It was a bad, bad time. And so the local church decided it was time to just get involved. They planned a prayer meeting, and they were going to come gather together. All that prayer meeting focused on was rain. They wanted to pray for rain. So the people began to show up outside. The pastor arrived. He watched this congregation. They filed in, and they, you know, made a makeshift outdoor theater, so they were all outside. It was a great event, and they were all hanging, you know, the chairs and everything. It looked beautiful. And he slowly made his way through the group, the pastor did, and he arrived at the front to officially begin the meeting. And everyone that he encountered, they were visiting across the aisles, and there was a lot of murmuring, and they were enjoying the chance to socialize together with their close friends. And the pastor sat on, kind of came up, and there was a kind of a little platform that they had made just for this outdoor event, and he sat there, and his thoughts immediately were on the importance of quieting the crowd, and he thought, I gotta get them to settle down, and we gotta start this meeting. And just as he began asking for quiet, he noticed that over on the side there's an 11-year-old girl sitting towards the front row, and she was just beaming with excitement, and she had with her a bright red umbrella she was holding already above her head, just like this, you know. And the pastor realized something, that all the others somehow had forgotten what that girl had. You see, the rest had come to pray for rain, but that little girl came to see God answer. Joy comes when I understand completely that God can handle those things that I cannot handle. See, I gotta tell you, I can't handle temptation. God can. I find it very hard to overcome when I'm hurt. God doesn't. I in no way can even cope when I'm walking through a trial. But God can. God can handle those storms that invade my life. And that is why adversity can make you better if you don't let it make you bitter. Adversity can get the bitter of us and cause us bitterness. Satan loves using adversity to get our eyes off the one we're to turn to and unto our situation. And we look around, we think, oh, I gotta deal with it. Or even unto ourselves. And we take it off of the one we should be focusing on, and we lose the joy. in her life. I love what God says here in verse 12. God blesses the people who patiently endure testing. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. What a promise to us. What expectation. You see, when you approach adversity God's way, it is much easier to embrace with joyful results. Let me ask you, can you make it? Can you make it? With God walking you all the way, you better believe you can. I want to close with this poem I received. It explains it so well, better than I can. It's entitled, Things Just Don't Happen. The author's unknown. I invite you to close your Bibles and just listen. Just listen. I invite you to close your eyes because I want you to hear this. I don't want you to have any other thoughts. Don't think of the cat video. Now you are. I shouldn't have said it. Just listen for a moment. Close your eyes. Things just don't happen to us who love God. They are planned by his own dear hands, then molded and shaped and timed by his clock. Things just don't happen. They are planned. We just don't guess on the issues of life. We Christians just rest in our Lord. We are directed by his sovereign will in the light of his holy word. We who love Jesus are walking by faith, not seeing one step that's ahead, not doubting one moment what our lot will be, but looking to Jesus instead. We praise our dear Savior for loving us so, for planning each care for our life, then giving us faith to trust him for all, the blessed as well as the strife. Things just don't happen to us who love God, to us that have taken our stand. No matter the lot, the course, or the price, things just don't happen. They are planned. Let's pray. As you've walked through some difficulties, and maybe this past week, just take a moment to think. As you walk through this, maybe this coming week, as you experience problems or setbacks or failures, take some time at the end of the day to brainstorm all the good things that can come of them. Take time to pray. Ask God for wisdom. And expect his answer. And maybe you're dealing with a heavy heart today, and you know that you need to just spend some time with God. I invite you. That prayer room is available for you. Just you can make your way there after the service. If you want one of the staff or an elder, just come and ask them to come, and they'll pray with you. But take time with God to spend with him, to talk to him. Maybe you need to drop your hurt and let him take care of it. Maybe you need to hand him your pain. Maybe it's even your depression, or maybe it's your finances. I don't know what you need to give to him today. And then ask him to give him his joy to you and his wisdom to you. And ask him to walk you through it. He will. Father, this morning, as heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you have walked through many, many events and circumstances, many hurts, many pains. You've walked us through as your people. Lord, we have not wanted in any way to be disobedient to you. God, we know that there have been times we've failed you as your people. But Lord, we know that you have forgiven us. You have washed us whiter than snow. And Lord, today as we continue to walk together, we know, Lord, that you have called us also to encourage one another, to build up one another, to pray for one another. Lord, may that be the earmark of this church, to be a church that prays for one another. Lord, we commit ourselves to you anew and afresh today. Even as we walk through those tough times, God, we know you're there, and we trust you completely. We pray now your blessing upon us as we continue to serve you throughout this week and whatever we do and wherever we go. To you be the glory and the honor forever and ever. Amen. Worship team, please.